Although central bankers are doing their level best to make everything look normal, our next guest says it's all a facade. We have with us legendary investor and futurist Jim Rogers. Serving as the chairman of Rogers Holdings and Beeland Interests Inc., Mr. Rogers is also a world-renowned speaker, expert financial commentator, and author of multiple best-selling books. When he has something to say, everyone stops and listens, no matter what side of the trade they're on. And as we move forward in this financially engineered market ecosystem, Mr. Rogers sees a growing wave of fiscal entropy. He argues that what we really need is a market correction in order to restart the system with a clean slate. This is must-read information that you can get only at crushthestreet.com/dead. You don't want to be left out in the cold at this critical juncture, so please go to crushthestreet.com/dead. So without further ado, here's Jim Rogers.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into crushthestreet.com. I got a returning guest today, popular guest, legendary investor Jim Rogers himself, co-founder of the Quantum Fund, retired at age 37, author of several best-selling books. He's a financial commentator, world-renowned speaker, chairman of Rogers Holdings and Beeland Interests, Inc. Jim Rogers, without any further ado, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Well, gosh, Kenneth, what an introduction. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're on. And, you know, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. And look, let's talk about the economy. One thing we've discussed in the past is previously how central banks will lose control of interest rates and really the underlying financial system. And I think we really saw that as we closed out 2018, as interest rates were rising, stocks started to crash, gold was starting to inch higher, and what did the Fed do? They backpedaled to regain control. So I'll start you off here. How well of a job has the Fed done in managing the financial system up until now?
Well, you say regain control. If you mean make the stock market go up, I guess that's regaining control. I'm not sure that's good for the world. You know, it's been over 10 years since we've had an economic setback in America. That's the longest in American history. And that sounds strange to me. It doesn't sound normal that they're manipulating and force feeding the market to make the stock market go up. Sorry, I got diverted by what you ask, but maybe they're in control again. They're certainly in control if they want stocks to go up, but I'm not sure that's good for the world at this point in the economic cycle.
So that's an interesting thing, and I've thought a lot about that myself, but it seems that the mainstream, the people, the population, the stock market is the barometer for how everything is doing. That's what everyone looks at, the benchmark. If the stock market's up, everyone feels good. And so to a certain degree, people are, I guess, put at ease by rising prices. And maybe there is some good to people being comfortable and willing to invest and willing to spend money, willing to go out and start businesses. Any truth to that?
No. Everything you just said is true. We all want jobs. We all want businesses. We all want prosperity. There's no question about that. But if things get overheated or bubbles develop, in the end, we all pay a terrible price. Mm-hmm. You know, there one could make the case that in 2008, 2009, they should have let the system clean itself out. They should have let people go bankrupt. And then we could have started over from a sound base instead of force feeding and flooding the world with market and the lowest interest rates in the history of the world. One result of such low interest rates is that debt everywhere has skyrocketed. Now, Kenneth, if you think that being the largest debtor nation in the history of the world is good for America, then don't listen to me. If you think the gigantic debts in European countries and even some Asian countries that are going to go bankrupt is good for the world in the long term, you shouldn't listen to me. I'm of the view that maybe the system is supposed to clean itself out every once in a while and you start over from a sound base. Forest fires are horrible, horrible events, but they clean out the undergrowth, they get rid of dead wood, and the forest can grow much better and much stronger after the forest fire, as an analogy.
Well, I tend to agree with you. So you brought up 2008, and if we go back to 2008, there was a bit of a contagion effect that took place. You know, some people don't know this, but smaller countries started to cave first and show signs of cracks, with the major countries following suit into the financial chaos. My question is, are we starting to see some cracks in the systems coming from some smaller, less impactful, less consequential nations, which are signaling what may be to come in countries like the U.S. and areas like the Eurozone?
Extremely good insight. That's the way bear markets always start. They start where nobody's looking because they're small or inconsequential, whether it's a company or an industry or a country. You know, in 2007, Iceland went bankrupt and nobody knew, noticed or cared. But then a few weeks later, Ireland went bankrupt. Bear Stearns went bankrupt. A few months later, Northern Rock in the UK went bankrupt. Well, after, you know, several months of these small insignificant events, and Lehman Brothers went bankrupt, and we all knew. Then it was on the evening news. Then we all knew something was wrong, but that took place over several months. Now, right now we have Latvia went bankrupt, Turkey's in trouble, Argentina, Venezuela, some Indian banks, Indonesia. It's happening again, Kenneth. But nobody pays attention, you know, when Argentina gets in trouble because it's small and inconsequential. But eventually it'll be on the evening news and we'll all know. We're working in that direction.
Yeah. Well, and people forget that some of these countries were at one time top tier nations. You know, many people from World War II moved over to Argentina because of its status, but then since then they've had a series of hyperinflation and problems coming from the government because of the very things that we're talking about today. Even Venezuela was a great country to live in up until socialism took them over, and unfortunately that's the tendency and the bias that we're seeing coming from the mainstream into our system today, and that's very unfortunate. So any thoughts on that before I ask this next question?
Well, no, what you just said is, again, very insightful. Both of those countries at one time were the richest countries in South America. Then they bungled it. You know, socialism is exactly what Venezuela turned to 20 years ago, a little over 20 years ago, and it ruined the place. You know, socialism and communism ruined just about everything. North Korea in 1970 was richer than South Korea, but communism ruined it, totally, absolutely destroyed the country. And that's what's happened in lots of places. But you just mentioned it. Yes, Argentina, Venezuela, both of them in trouble now, at one time were extremely rich and successful countries.
Well, let's turn to President Trump for a moment here. There's different angles to criticize him at. But one thing we have seen is he's been openly hostile towards, you know, globalism, maybe, you know, global socialism, if we can call it that. He's been against that. He's denounced it repeatedly. And he has recently nominated Stephen Moore for a seat on the Federal Reserve Board. And Moore is someone who's been ardently critical of the Federal Reserve Board under the current chairman, Jerome Powell. And he's actually been suggested that he's open and in favor of a gold standard. So any thoughts as to Trump and what he's dealing with and maybe the potential good that he's doing for the U.S.?
Well, as far as the central bank is concerned, the central bank is supposed to be independent of the political system. That's why it's a central bank. If a central bank is just run by the politicians, it usually winds up, well, we mentioned Argentina and Venezuela before, it usually winds up with problems. Now, I don't know Mr. Moore, so I don't know if he's independent or strong enough to do what's good for the country instead of what's good for the Republican Party or for Mr. Trump. I hope he's independent enough. You know, we've had two or three good central bankers in America. Not many. Most of them just were at the beck and call of the politicians, and they ruined things. You know, Paul Volcker back in the late 70s was given the instructions to kill inflation, and he did it for the good of the country. Jimmy Carter lost the election, but at least Volcker got rid of inflation, which in my view is better for the world. Is this good for the country? I don't know. Some of the things that Trump has done, we hope are good. He's cut taxes. I'm never in favor of taxes. He says he's cut regulation. I hope so. I have not seen much evidence of it. I have not seen much documentation of it, but he certainly says it, and I hope so. He certainly stirred up some of the international institutions, which is good. But some of what he's done is terrible. I mean, he said he wants to make America great again. Well, so far, by pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, he's making China great again. You know, now China's taking over Asia. America pulled out, and the Chinese looked around and said, oh my gosh, is he serious? And he pulled out of Asia, and now that's left Asia to China. Well, in my view, you know, Asia's got more people than any other section of the world. It's the most important part of the 21st century, and Trump abandoned it. I'm not sure that's good for America in the long run. But so he's done some good things and some bad things. I guess you could probably say that about most guys.
So interesting dynamic. I mean, we're in a situation where the Fed and the stock market, the people, the businesses, you know, so many aspects of the economy has been addicted to low interest rates, easy money, and just this binging of capital coming from central banks. But it's almost like this extreme deferral of gratification that needs to happen now for this cleansing out to take place, which I don't think anybody wants, you know, to happen or to, no one wants to have pain. No one wants to go through pain. And really only the people that are in the know and understand cycles understand this enough to accept it. But I just don't understand how this is going to play out down the line here. I almost feel like it's not going to happen in a way that is good for the future, because I feel like during the crash, the mainstream will package this up and give us back socialism, extreme socialism. And that's, to a large degree, what we're already starting to see happen with the candidates that are starting to rise up for the Democrat Party here in the 2020 election. So just some final thoughts here on the direction everything is going.
Well, you again, that's very good insight, because if we do have a serious economic problem, and I would expect we will, I would expect, you know, in 2008, we had a problem because of too much debt. Well, Kenneth, since 2008, debt everywhere has skyrocketed. Even China has debt now. And China had virtually no debt for decades. But now even they are full of debt. So, no, the next economic problem is going to be probably the worst in my lifetime. And then, as you have pointed out, politicians or the voters, you know, look for a savior, look for an easy way out. And that usually is people who want to spend other people's money, a socialist, whatever you want to call them. It's usually not good for the world. The system, again, back to what I said, the system would have been better to be clean itself out and start from a sound basis back in 2008. We didn't do it. Now the consequences may be even worse, because the next bear market is going to be a horrendous one.